السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. لايل جولدستين، أستاذ الأبحاث والمدير المؤسس لمعهد الدراسات البحرية الصينية في الكلية الحربية البحرية الأمريكية، يشرح كيف باتت أمريكا قاب قوسين أو أدنى من مواجهة عسكرية مع روسيا، لعل واشنطن مرارا وتكرارا وعلى مدى العقدين الماضيين اختارت المواجهة على التسوية مع موسكو. خلال التسعينيات دفعت إدارة كلينتون باتجاه توسيع الناتو على الرغم من تحذير الدبلوماسي الأمريكي الأكثر خبرة آنذاك جورج كينان، الذي توقع أن هذه الخطوة ستزرع بذرة حرب باردة جديدة. أما إدارة بوش فقد فاقمت الموقف من خلال السماح بدخول مجموعة جديدة كاملة من الدول ضمن هذه المنظومة وتمزيق سلسلة من معاهدات الحد من التسلح. وبينما حاول أوباما بشجاعة إعادة العلاقات، فشل دبلوماسيوه غير الأكفاء فشلا ذريعا في إحلال السلام والاستقرار في أوروبا الشرقية. والكلام لجولدستين بعد ذاك، قام ترامب الذي تعرض لهجوم مستمر باعتباره عميل بوتين بزيادة الرهان من خلال منح مساعدة قاتلة للجيش الأوكراني، ووسع بشكل متهور وتيرة التدريبات العسكرية الأمريكية على حدود روسيا، وألغى تقريبا كل ما تبقى من الحد من التسلح مع موسكو. إذا من المعقول جدا الآن أن تندلع حرب كبرى في أوروبا. علاوة على ذلك، من الممكن أيضا أن تنتشر هذه الحرب بسرعة باتجاه آسيا، فهل من شيء يمكن أن يوقف هذا الهبوط نحو الظلمة؟ ربما تجنب المأساة في هذه المرحلة المتأخرة بات أمرا بعيدا عن الحلول الدبلوماسية. ما الذي يمكن أن تفعله واشنطن لتجنب حرب كبرى؟ وما هو عرض السلام الذي يمكن أن تقدمه الآن؟ لعل لحظة المواجهة باتت تقترب أكثر. للإضاءة على خلفية هذا التصعيد الكلامي والإعلامي والتسلح والتطورات على الحدود الروسية والتعاطي معها من كل الأطراف وتبعات ذلك، يطيب لنا أن نستقبل من موسكو المفكر والمنظر في علم الاجتماع السياسي البروفيسور ألكسندر دوغن، أبو الأوراسية الجديدة والنظرية السياسية الرابعة، في هذا اللقاء من جزئين. أهلا بكم إلى حلقة جديدة من الداخل. معكم زينب صفار، تابعونا. Alexander Dugin, influential Russian philosopher, theorist, strategist, sociologist, founder of the fourth political theory and neo-Eurasianism. Welcome to Mina Dakhil from the inside, Professor Dugin.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Huge pleasure to have you always. Well, might you, sir, give us an overview, a historical background of the current tensions on the borders with Russia and against it? How did matters develop and roll into this war of words that is a breath away from an all-out military escalation? And how has the U.S. come to the brink of war?
So after some period of political realism with Trump, we are returning to the classical geopolitics. It is obvious that behind Biden and his administration, we have a neoconservative group that regards the reality in the classical geopolitical way. So there is sea power represented by United States, by the West, by NATO, Atlanticist camp, and there is land power represented by Russia. And after the end of the Soviet Union, and there was the big victory of the sea power over land power. And of many, many territories that belong to the heartland, to the land power, were taken from land power by the sea power. And that is the meaning of the expansion of NATO to the east. Mm-hmm. And little by little, NATO, the West sea power, integrated Eastern European countries and started to integrate as well post-Soviet countries. And Biden is represents a kind of agony of unipolarity. They try, he and his team try to get to the 90s, to the unipolar moment, to save globalization, to return to the Yeltsin's epoch when Russia was totally incapable to fulfill its own geopolitical duty. That was the shock after the end of the Soviet Union. But they have they misunderstand what modern Russia is. They don't understand what Putin's Russia is. It is not easy, as in the Yeltsin time, to dictate to Russians what we should do and what we should not. So Putin has clearly said that he considers Ukraine as the field of responsibility of Russian Federation. That is geopolitical interest. That is geopolitical will of Russia. And we don't insist on unification, but we insist of absence of NATO troops on the Ukraine territory, as well as in Georgia. And that is red line for Putin. That is red line for Eurasian geopolitics. And United States, with Biden, with this aggressive, offensive Atlanticism, attacking globalism, they try to violate this red line, and they try to save at any price, including at the price of possible war, this unipolarity. Well, that explains the so-called summit of democracy, the mistrust to United Nations, where the positions of Russia and China, of new poles of already existing multipolarity, three polarity, have very big influence. They try to return to save this unipolarity.
Right. I will come to talk about these details, each one at a different point. But allow me to ask you here, sir, that despite of the fact that NATO is pumping massive quantities of arms into Ukraine and, quote, militants are being sent there under the guise of military instructors, as referred to by the Russian Foreign Ministry, yet the signs are that Russia still prefers a diplomatic or a political solution. Sir, is there anything that, and you are a very shrewd and keen observer, is there anything that can stop this descent into darkness? Is it perhaps beyond diplomacy to avoid tragedy at this late point, as some experts might note?
So Putin tried to avoid a violent solution of Ukrainian problem. But the problem is that after the what we are calling here Russian Spring of 2014, when there was a reunification with Crimea and independence of Donbass republics, after that moment, situation was, we could not solve it. It is a kind of impasse, deadlock. The situation. So Putin tried to avoid radicalization of relation with Ukraine, with the half of the Ukraine, Eastern Ukraine, Ukraine still under full control of Kyiv. And that create a kind of disbalance in the relations between Moscow and Kyiv. And I think that only presence of Trump in Washington saved the Ukraine from future further escalation. And now with Biden, who is totally incapable to lead more balanced politics, he is just offensive globalist as Obama, maybe worse, more close to neoconservative. I think now Putin is obliged to come to the radical solution. He has, because Kyiv will not stop to demand integration into the NATO, and modern American, actual American administration will not stop.
So, sir, you agree that with what, on the other hand, Zbigniew Brzezinski was convinced that without Ukraine, Russia could not become the sovereign pole of a multipolar world. So exactly. Has Russia today set a firm course for becoming such a pole?
Exactly. We have lost Soviet Union and Ukraine when we were in the weakest position in the last time. And now we are in totally different situation, thanks to reform, patriotic reform of Putin. Now we are much more stronger than in the 90s, and we are returning to our sovereignty, to our independence. We are restoring our opposition as a subject of geopolitics, not mm-hmm. as object. And precisely in that moment, when we are strong, America tries desperately to oblige us to return to the weakest point. So that creates a kind of contradiction. America and Biden's administration doesn't make reality check. They treat Putin as if he is Yeltsin. So America treats Russia as if Russia is in 90s and not in the 2021. So there's this globally misunderstanding of the reality that is the origin of such escalation. And I think that West could sacrifice totally Ukraine in order to destroy relations between Russia and Western Europe. Now yes. they will not come to help and to secure Ukraine in the case of war, and they would like to present Russia as aggressive, imperialist, hegemonic power, and so on and so on. They will make sanctions, but they will be not directly involved. They will be satisfied if Russia will show herself as a kind of aggressive power. That will be enough. Ukraine doesn't bother Washington. It's too far. But Brzezinski was right. In order to restore imperial measure, in order to regain the status of the pole, we need Ukraine. We need territory, we need this population as well.
So to truly transform European security away from the new Cold War, NATO countries need to bury the hatchet, halt the unceasing buildup in Eastern Europe, and bitter a pill as it may be, recognize Russian sovereignty in Crimea, the real source of the region's ongoing tensions. What peace offering could Washington now offer?
I think that we are already outside of the peace talks.
Sure.
So now it is because everybody except Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, understands very well the situation, that he will be the last president of Ukraine if he just tries to solve the situation with Donbass with military means. He will be the last Ukrainian president. But the West pushes, Washington pushes him in order to start this military operation in the east of Ukraine in order to provoke Russia, in order to involve Russia in that military intervention in the Ukraine. And I think that there is not the question of bargaining.
Yes. However, on the other hand, sir, observers ask, why might the war be off? After all this concerted and hyped talk of imminent Russian action, well, if it has, it is probably for one banal yet pressing reason, that Biden and his team are spooked by the surging inflation in the US, which they see as threatening to act as a final nail in the coffin of their hopes to save at least something from the 2022 congressional midterms. What do you think, sir?
Maybe there are many reasons why Biden behaves in such way, but I think he is a kind in a trap or put by neoconservatives. After his fleet from Afghanistan, for exit from Afghanistan, he was the aim of the radical criticism of the neoconservative that before supported him. His failures in the inner politics, domestic politics, have deprived him from the support of the left of America, of left of Democratic Party. He's totally loser. And now he's trying to save maybe midterm elections and his position personally, his position with the war or with some radical changes in the world. So provocation of Russia maybe is instrument to save the place, because everything in Biden's administration is total failure. Mm-hmm. His exit from Afghanistan, his summit of democracy, everything he touches, Biden, it is a failure. He is an absolute loser. Mm-hmm. And he is considered like that not only by his political opponents of Republicans, of Trumpists. He is considered like that by his supporters.
Mm-hmm. Allow me to come to Europe, the European stance in this regard. The German Federal Network Agency will not make a decision on the controversial Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline for at least another 6 months, as was revealed recently by the head of the governmental body. How do you read this, particularly amid EU officials' warning of rolling blackouts this winter in Europe? Does the EU face an impasse today?
So I would say that Nord Stream 2, it is in interest of Europe. It is supply of energy that is very needed by Europe.
And not cheap just energy in comparison, yes, to other sorts of energy.
Exactly. That is the question of economical life for Europe. And that is in their interest to start the projects. But I would say that this new government and above all Green Party, they represent the fifth column of globalists. That is Soros' fifth column in Germany, and they were brought to the power precisely in order to sabotage Nord Stream 2. And Annalena Baerbock, the chief of Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Germany, is precisely the creature, the figure of George Soros, who is the enemy of Russia and of Europe and of Germany. And he is one of the main globalists in the world. So it is subversion not only of Russia, but it is as well important blow against us, but it is as well the blow against Europe in destroying the project or delaying the project of Nord Stream 2. The globalists try to hit two goals, to make a blow against Russia and a blow against Europe, and to split this energetical alliance, political alliance, maybe strategical alliance between Eurasian Russia and continental Europe. And that is the main goal. And Ukraine serves as a kind of obstacle, the sanitarian cordon, as in classical geopolitics they called it.
Well, Dr. Dugin, some hawkish American voices are suggesting that a Ukraine war would finally achieve America's long-standing objective to disrupt and sever the energy corridor linking Russia to a dependent EU.
Exactly. Because now with this Nord Stream 2, it is classical geopolitical scenario, the relations between Russia and Germany, Russian and continental Europe. Now it is in terms of energy. Before it was in the terms of political agreements and treaties and so on. But the same strategy, Anglo-Saxon world, in order to rule Eurasian heartland, they need to separate, to divide continental Europe, Germany, France, Italy, and Spain, from the growing Russia. And that is classical strategy. And Eastern Europe, the part of Ukraine, Baltic states, they serve for that.
Right. The recent G7 meeting of foreign ministers in Liverpool was intended as a show of Western unity against Russia and China. Well, some astute observers note that it seems possible that Beijing will find the opportunity of a Russian invasion of Ukraine too good to pass up and could opt to solve the Taiwan problem at the same time, while Washington is distracted. So do you reckon, sir, that there is more significant turbulence and flashpoints to the matter in case of the crunch moment?
I think that Taiwan problem and Ukraine problem are very, very geopolitically close to each other. Russia, becoming stronger, becoming independent, tries to install the zone of influence in accordance to its measure, to its new or very old in the reality role in the world, to be the independent pole. China is doing the same. China is coming from the dependent position in front of the West, and China is trying to restore its zone of influence, and Taiwan is the part of this natural zone of influence. And in order to demonize us, in order to don't let these new poles to emerge fully and to expand its influence on the expense of ex-unipolar zones of controls, because after the collapse of the Soviet Union, these zones have passed under control of the global West. Now it is very painful for the West to observe how serious the growth of China and Russia is. And this growth creates a kind of hatred, because it is the war of unipolarity, ending unipolarity, against emerging multipolarity.
Professor Alexander Dugin, allow me to stop here for this edition. More talk in the forthcoming part with you, Sir Russian philosopher, strategist, founder of the Fourth Political Theory. Thank you very much, sir, for sharing your comprehensive and thorough thoughts. Bless you and be safe. Pure pleasure to have you always, sir. إذن إلى اللقاء في الأسبوع المقبل من جديد مع المفكر الروسي ألكسندر دوغن في القسم الثاني من هذا الحوار العميق والشائق. الشكر لكم دائما على طيب المتابعة، وحتى نلتقي، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.